Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for August 9th, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Rethinking Honor.
What a blessing to be here today. This is an auditorium of honor today. We're going to be honoring some people here today. Isn't that awesome? We often go to places where we criticize people, but today we're just going to talk about honoring people. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about honoring the best people in our lives. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? For the rest of the month of August, we're going to talk about that. Not perfect people, but normal human beings. You probably heard about the preacher who was preaching one time, and he was talking about nobody's perfect. And he said, for instance, right now, if there's anybody perfect in this room, I want you to stand up. And one guy stood up. And he says to the guy, so why do you think you're perfect? And the guy says, I'm not standing up for me. I'm standing in behalf of my wife's ex-husband. That's who I'm standing up for. So we're not talking about perfect people here. But we're talking about people who belong on the red carpet of our life. I want to ask you that question today. And throughout this series, who's on the red carpet of your life? Who walks there on the red carpet of your life? We're going to use Paul and his relationship with Timothy. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to use that as a backdrop of conversation. One of Timothy's red carpet people was Paul. And you read through the text, you find out Timothy's mother was one of his red carpet people. And we see the relationship that started back at Lystra when Paul goes by and he picks up Timothy. And Paul's on this incredible mission. He's on this incredible mission to tell all the churches, especially the non-Jewish churches, the Gentiles, that they were saved by grace. And to tell them that they didn't have to observe all the ceremonial laws that were in the law of Moses, and that they had been fulfilled in Christ. And they came from this meeting in Jerusalem. Paul came from this meeting in Jerusalem where he was going through the church world to celebrate this. And he grabs Timothy, this young disciple whose mother was a Jewish Christian believer and dad was a Greek. And he grabs this young guy and says, I want you to go with me and I'm going to pour my life into you. And he transformed young Timothy. He transformed him, as we later learn, someone who was shy and someone who was reserved and someone who couldn't put himself forward to be one of the lead elders of the church. So if Timothy was going to have a red carpet ceremony, if he was going to give out an Academy Award or a Globe or an Emmy, he would have had Apostle Paul walk down and he would have honored him. And we're going to see that Paul even encouraged that. Someone said to me just yesterday about another person in this church, he makes me brave. He makes me brave. Well, thank God for the people in our life who make us brave. Do you have somebody in your life that makes you brave? Give them a hand right now if you have someone in your life that makes you brave. And Paul unashamedly communicated, Timothy, God has put me in your life to shape you, to serve you, to develop you, to see you reach your highest potential. God has put me in your life for that purpose. Trust me, honor me for the role that God has put me in your life for, and for what the place that God has designed me to be in your life. You see, he said in so many words, Timothy, watch out for the flakes. And watch out for the fakes. I am someone who's been put into your life, and I have proven to be the genuine article. I have your interest at heart. You see, every one of us, in our hearts, we have a red carpet. And we have a spotlight. And we put the people that we think are cool, and the people that we think are awesome, and the people that we think have something to offer us, and the people that we'd like to be like, we put those people in the red carpet of our minds, and we put them on the stage of our life, and we give them awards in our minds. And for a lot of us, it's people like Tom Brady, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, right? $250 a ticket. LeBron James, you know, Justin Timberlake, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Lawrence. These are the people that are on the red carpet of our life. Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Jimmy Fallon, right? And of course, Joel Osteen. Psalms chapter 101, verse 6 says, King David says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. It's kind of giving us a different idea. Rather than putting Katy Perry and Jimmy Fallon and Tom Brady, rather than putting those people on your red carpet, David says, I've put the faithful people in the land. I've put the people that are doing their job every day, that are, and he says, not only do I keep my eyes on them, I want to dwell with them, that they may dwell with me. So I think you're already kind of going to get the idea that through this series, we're not going to talk about the people that we don't know and that don't know us. We're going to talk about the people we know. We're going to talk about the people that know us. We're going to talk about the people that I don't think we miss them because we're bad or we're evil. We just miss it because it's just natural. Familiarity breeds contempt, right? The old saying. What about your mother? What about that mom that you had to put up with your alcoholic father and kept your home together and kept you going to school and kept clothes on your back and food on your table when it was really hard and she was being abused? She hung in there. Maybe she hung in there too long. But she was doing the best she knew to do. What about that dad that you have that has really compromised his own health because of the job that he does that provides for your family? And you get to go to all those concerts and you get to do all those cool things and you get to wear those cool clothes and you get to have all that fun. Because he does that every day. We've had dads at Bethany that have worked three jobs so their children could come to this private Christian school. What about them? Is that dad on your red carpet? What about the teacher that stays with you after school and keeps drilling that algebra into you until you get it? What about that coach that doesn't just try to make sure you win on the court and win on the field, but they cared enough about you to spend time with you outside of the practice arena to try to make sure you learn how to win in life? What about that person? What about the counselor? That marriage counselor, that grief counselor that agonizes over you and doesn't just see you as another paycheck, but agonizes over you until they can find answers for your life. What about them today? What about putting them on the red carpet? What about the youth leaders? What about the youth leaders that make sure there's a cool theme always happening in your youth group? And that always there and make sure there's all kinds of incredible fun activities for you to be a part of and try to make your life as cool as possible while you follow Christ, and who will sometimes look you up to talk to you. And yes, they will sometimes confront you and they'll challenge you and they care about who you're hanging out with and they'll talk to you about it and try to get, what about those people? What about those children's church workers? What about those children's church workers that are going to keep that program going every week? Your kids, the reason you came back to church, you put up with my preaching. You tolerate my preaching and the inadequacies that I bring every week. You tolerate them because your kids say, I want to go back to that church because I want to go to King's Kids. What about those people? I don't know if you realize it, but there are no facilities angels that come in on Saturday night and get everything ready. I don't know. Maybe you think there's some facilities angels that do that, but there are no facilities angels that do that, you know. What about those people? What about those people that matter so much? What about the prayer team that takes your prayer request and they pray over them and they agonize over your needs? What about those people? What about that nosy person who always comes around and wants to know where you were? Where are you when nobody knows where you are? And why are you hanging out with the people that you're hanging out with? Why you're doing the things that you're doing? What about those people? I say they might belong on the red carpet of your mind. What about the people in this room who are givers? You don't even know them. You don't know people think they know who the big givers are. You would be shocked if you knew who the big givers are. The people that pay for this room, pay for these facilities, pay for you to have full-time pastoral staff. You know, the other day we did the building fund, the parking lot fund offering. And afterward, I step out in the gym. A lady came up to me. Only been in the church about a year, and hands me a check for the parking lot. And I looked down at it. I thought it was 100. I looked again. I saw another zero. I looked again. I saw another zero. $10,000. A woman gave me a check for $10,000 to help pay for a parking lot. The next time you drive on that parking lot and you say, isn't this incredible? Somebody paid for that. Somebody paid for this. She could have spent that money going to the Caribbean or Europe. She could have spent that money. I mean, that's a down payment on a car now. Paul said, "Know them which labor among you, esteem them very highly." Know them which labor among you. You know, I have a lot of people that I feel a sense of honor and respect for. A lot of preachers. I happen to love preachers and guys who preach the word and stuff. And I listen to 4 or 5 sermons a week, other people's sermons. And, I listen to a lot of people. Some people, I don't put them up here, but I like them. I enjoy them. And sometimes I'll get critical of some guy and I will listen. I'll go ahead and listen to a sermon anyway and he'll blow me away. I mean, I don't want to call a name, but it was one of those preachers I was kind of critical of. The other day I'm working out. I put on the headphones and worked out. And this guy, he knocked it out of the park, man. He preached a sermon. He preached a sermon that was unbelievable. But a lot of people like, I love to listen to Tim Keller. You know that. Bishop T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren, Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley can bring it. You know that. But they are not the best people in my life. You say, you mean Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and Tim Keller aren't the best people in your life? Who do you know? They're not in my life. Tim Keller is not in my life. Bill Hybels is not in my life. I rode an elevator with him the other day. It should count for something. I actually got on an elevator, and I was going to the next floor. I didn't realize this was already pegged to go to the next floor, and Bill's on the elevator, and I made a big joke out of, oh, I get to ride with Bill Hybels. My life is forever changed. If they asked Bill, you know, who I was, he probably couldn't remember, right? You guys hear me talk about C.W. Goforth, right? You heard me call that name? Many of you, if you've been coming here a while, you've heard me tell the stories about my Pentecostal church that I grew up in, Wild Pentecostal Church. I mean, it's about as antithetical, opposite of a New England church as you could get. And my pastor used to jump over the flower arrangement. This is no joke. You guys aren't going to believe this. You're going to think I'm making this up. He would get excited about what he felt the Spirit was doing in him. We had a big brick flower arrangement right there in front, and then an altar. He would jump over the flower arrangement, and we had pews that were nailed down. This wouldn't work in here. He would walk on top of the pews all the way to the back of the church, preaching all the way. And I used to go to his house. I was 11 years old when he first came to Farmersville. Every Saturday night, we had Saturday night service. I would pack a bag of clothes. I would go to his house, and his wife would, and all these other kids would show up too. And we would fill that house with people. And of course, we didn't call anyone by their first name in that culture. She was Sister Goforth. Her name was Sula, but we called her Sister. I think probably Sister is easier to remember, right? Sister Goforth would cook for us, love on us, say nice things to us, always had a smile on her face, always welcomed her house. And I've done something, and I'm going to get emotional. I did something that's almost unforgivable. I quit calling them, and I quit honoring them throughout my life. And Sister Goforth died the other day. And I couldn't go to the funeral. My brother went. I couldn't go. But something in my heart snapped. And I said, you know what? The Holy Spirit took me to the woodshed, if you know what I mean. And I said, God, I'm going to change this about myself. I'm going to honor. Because it was Goforth. It was Brother Goforth, if you don't mind me saying. I was 14 years old. He's standing down front. We had one of those old-fashioned altar calls. I went down and began to pray, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I'm calling you to preach. And I told him what God had told me. And he prayed for me, and he said, you're preaching next Wednesday night. I'm 14 years old. I'm 14 years old, and Goforth says, you're preaching next Wednesday night. Now, that shaped my life. That shaped my destiny. When a guy says, you're preaching next Wednesday night. Now, I preached to the youth group. I preached to about 40 kids in the youth group. But when you're 14 and you give a sermon to 40 people, it's a pretty big deal. I was scared to death. So, Friday a week ago, Thursday a week ago, I called him on the phone. I was in Dallas. He lives in Tyler, 2 hours east of Dallas. I said, I want to come see you. And I drove down there. I spent the day with him. 80 years old. Still going strong. He just took another church a year ago, running 7, and it's already running 100. At 80. We went out to Sister, he goes to Sister Goforth's grave every day and talks to her. And I saw, when I went there and I saw the strength of their marriage, I saw a man who really loved his wife. And I saw, I could tell a wife who really loved her husband. And they had this trophy marriage. I'm going to call him from now on. I'm going to call him. I'm going to ask him for advice. I'm going to ask him to pray for me. And I'm going to bring him here to preach. You know, it's kind of like the guy said, he went to check in the hotel. He went to stop, try to get a room one night, and his sign said no vacancy, but he went in anyway, and he said, do you have a room? They said, no, we're all full. He said, if the President of the United States came, would you find a room for him? They said, well, we probably would. He said, well, he ain't coming, so give me his room. Hey, Tom Brady ain't coming to be a part of your life. Johnny Depp's not coming. Who is a part of your life? In a minute, I want to talk about why that's important. This is not just about someone feeling appreciated or unappreciated. Now, that's a good enough reason to honor people, that they need to feel appreciated. That's a good enough reason, but there's a far more powerful reason why we need to develop a culture of honor. There's a far more powerful reason than just because people need to be appreciated. most of us are mature enough that we can deal with being unappreciated. If you can't deal with being unappreciated, you need to grow up, because everybody's just not going to appreciate you, and you're not going to always be. And even when they do, you're not always going to know it. So this isn't about us just trying to be appreciated, though that's a good thing. This is about something far more. We're actually going to honor some people at BCC in a few minutes and throughout the series. Now, we're not going to honor nearly all the people that should be honored. We're not even going to scratch the surface, because we have a lot of Timothy's mothers, Paul's in this room and around this place. And I want you to pray for me, because I feel like this idea could really cause something wonderful to happen in our environment if we begin to unleash the gifts that are in our midst and that are within us, and we begin to receive them from one another. You can still have your celebrities. I don't have a problem with celebrities. You can have your celebrity preachers, your celebrities, your singers, your athletes. But we need to connect with the greatness that is in the house. I said we need to connect with the greatness that's in the house. Now, there are people who are serving, shaping your lives. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here to introduce us to Young Timothy's red carpet people is the beautiful Mrs. Mandy Sartori. Would you come?
Thank you so much for this honor. It's such an honor to read the scripture this morning. I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance.
Now, maybe it's a little off-putting that Paul says, listen to me, honor me, do what I'm telling you to do. Is that a little off-putting that someone would actually say, honor me? So that it can't be about Paul's ego. It's got to be about something deeper. Paul, in fact, says this same thing several times in many ways. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my examples. I follow the example of Christ. He didn't just say follow Christ. He said, follow my example as I follow Christ. I praise you for remembering in me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I passed them on to you. He didn't just say, well, go read the Gospels. He said, I thank you that you held on to the teachings that I passed you. And then Romans 1:11, he said, I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. See, back in 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul said, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Now, why did he do this? Why did Paul encourage, almost demand, I don't think demand's the right word, but just insist, maybe that's a better word. Why did he insist that Timothy give him his full attention? Why did he insist on that? Well, I believe there's a couple of things. Paul knew that his impact was limited by perception. He knew that his impact in Timothy's life was limited by Timothy's perception of him. Paul knew that we are not shaped by who we tolerate, but we're shaped by who we celebrate. We are shaped by the people that we celebrate. Here's a great example from the life of Jesus. The great example from the life of Jesus in drawing the power that's from God out of another human being. Because Jesus walked this earth as a man. He was fully man as he walked the earth. So any principle that he teaches us is applicable to our lives. One day Jesus is walking, crowd of people all around him. People are bumping up against him on every side. And Jesus says these words, someone has touched me. Think about that for a minute. People, in fact, Simon Peter said, Master, the people, this is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 28. All of a sudden, Jesus asked, who touched me? Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in against you. But Jesus said, someone has touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. She said, had said, unknown to Jesus, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Here's a woman who had a bleeding sickness in her body that she had had for years, and she had been to every doctor in the country and spent all of her money on doctors and had not been healed. And she said, if I can touch Jesus. And when she touched Jesus, something happened. There was a release of power. Listen to me today. There was a release of power in Jesus because she touched him with intentionality. And she touched him with purpose. Now, everybody was hanging out with Jesus, but one person was pulling something out of Jesus. Let me say that again. Mom got it. A lot of people were hanging out with Jesus, but the woman with the issue of blood was pulling something out of Jesus. Now, many of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to have people that hang out with you. And thank God for people that hang out with you. We all like to hang out sometimes. But you also know that a time occurs in your life and someone's not just hanging out with you, but they're pulling something out of you. They're not just touching you physically. They're touching something that's in you spiritually because they hold you in a place because they believe that in you, there's something in you that they need in them. And because of the level of respect and the level of honor that they bring to that circumstance and they bring the situation, they receive something from you that nobody else receives from you. That's the power of honor. You can be around the most gifted people in the world, but if you don't honor them and you don't respect them, you will not draw power out from them. So it is to your advantage to begin to decide who are the best people, who are the people who can transform my life, who are the people who have gifts that can be imparted to me. I want to figure out who they are, and I want to get in the flow of what God is doing because God is distributing his gifts among people, human beings, frail, weak, human beings who have flaws, human beings who aren't perfect, human beings who have bad breath and body odor. Human beings that make mistakes. Human beings that lose things. Human beings that forget where they are. Human beings that don't always do it right. But the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of God may be of God and not of us. But it's up to you. It's up to you, and it's up to me whether I'm going to draw it out of you or not. It's up to me whether I just want to hang out with you or whether I want to draw something out of you. Somebody say amen. When you're short on time, I've learned you preach louder and faster. There's some people in this room that have a Holy Ghost gift. You don't have to go to Tulsa. Nothing wrong with going to Tulsa. You don't have to go to Springfield, Missouri. You don't have to go to Houston, Texas. You don't have to go to Los Angeles, California. You don't have to go to Dallas. Because the power of God is at 15 Cape Road too. It's in the people. It's in the people. It's residing in the people that are in this room. Everything that God wants to do is in the hearts and minds of the people that are in this room. Everything that God wants to do in this community, everything that God wants to do through Compassion New England, everything that God wants to do in this sanctuary is in the hearts of the people that are in this room right now. We don't have to go anywhere or get anybody else. We're going to go other places. We're going to have the Global Leadership Summit, I think. We're going to have other people speak into our lives. But they're going to go home. And it's going to be me and you. It's going to be us. And what are we going to do? How are we going to steward it? Okay, what will change when the best people have the best place in our hearts? What will change? Let me reread the text, part of it, not all of it. Fan into the flame the gift of God, he said in verse 6, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Are you getting this? The gift of God is in you through the laying on of my hands. Because you came into proximity to me, there's something of God in you that wasn't there before. Again, I'm the sensitive type, so I think this is probably making me more excited than some of the rest of you here today. But maybe about 3 o'clock, it'll just dawn on you. Verse 8, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. See, the best people in your life are paying a price to be there. They're suffering. They're stressed. What you heard from me, verse 13, keep is the pattern of sound teaching. The best people in your life have expectations of you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because you know those things from whom. Boy, I hope that explodes in your heart by 3 this afternoon or 7 tonight or 9 before you go to sleep, okay? You think about that verse. Continue what you have learned and become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. Wow. We're supposed to connect our theology with our relationships. I mean, you got to get this, guys. We got to get this. This is powerful. Connecting your theology with your relationships. Again, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm being silly. I want to close. You will sell. Here's 3 things that will happen, that will change. 3 things I want you to work on. Celebrate the gifts the best people in your life have imparted. All those people I mentioned, those parents, coaches, children's church workers, think about them. You will acknowledge the pain the best people in your life have endured. I mean, if you're a 16-year-old here today and you got on clothes, think about there's somebody that potty trained you, my friend. Somebody probably gets up and goes to work while you're still sleeping, so you can have life as we know it, life as you know it. Put them on the red carpet of your mind. Put them on the stage. Give them the Academy Award. I want to say this. You know why I don't take Deflategate too seriously? You know why? Tom Brady is not in my life. Only thing I need from Tom Brady is just throw the stupid ball down the field and win the game, because that's what I want on Sunday afternoon. My role models are in this room. Got that off my chest. Number three, you will live the principles the best people in your life are committed to. Let me give you quick action steps. Have a conversation. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you not to do anything with this today. I want you to have a conversation with God about the best people in your life. Number two, I want you to ask God whether to impress on you any further action you need to take. Maybe you need to send an email, take a drive like I did, make a phone call. Maybe you just need to change your attitude. Change your stinking attitude to a great attitude. Here's a fourth thing you can do. Go to the Wall of Fame after the service and leave a note of gratitude there for the red carpet people in your life. I know that this is a dangerous exercise. Somebody's name's not going to get put up there. Just relax. Just relax. It'll be okay. Now, in closing, I want you to join me in honoring a couple of BCC red carpet people, just a couple of people that have just done incredible serving around here for a very long time, and especially over the summer months, and work with our children. So my lovely assistant's going to come and help me. And I want to ask two people to come forward right now. They don't know I'm going to do this. Tina Hamill. I watch this lady here all hours of the night, all hours of the day, getting ready for VBS. Now she's going to go into high gear getting ready for the harvest party. She goes from one event to the next, bringing her kids, bringing her husband here. Thank you, Tina. God bless you. Paige Betty. I want Paige Betty to come. Paige Betty's the one that gets the announcement of the harvest party, and I know it's changed a little bit, but into all the public schools, whatever needs to be done. I'm in the nursery of the day, and she's in there coaching the nursery workers. Thank you. God bless you. We're going to close in prayer right now. We're not going to have the prayer partners come today because of the hour it is. But I want you to think about what you heard today. And for some of us, do a little mental shift and begin to honor the best people in your life. Father, I pray, God, that you would help us all to really, really enjoy the gifts that are in one another. Receive from them. Submit to them, not in an unhealthy, cultic, toxic sort of a way, but in a very healthy way, in a very transparent way. Let the people that you put into our lives that do us good, that mean us good, and even when they fail, they mean us good. And let us connect our lives with the best people in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.